Hello, and welcome to the Loft Gathering Podcast. Here at the Loft, our mission is reconciliation. We truly hope this podcast draws you into a new sense of belonging within the loving arms of Jesus Christ. Let's get started.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Praise the Lord. I'm excited to be here today, guys. I do get a little nervous, you know, all these years with military and all that, but you know what? I got a text yesterday and said, such a privilege to share God's most precious gift, the Word that became flesh. Amen? I mean, think about it, guys. We're at the throne of grace here this morning. The Holy Spirit's moving. I'm excited. I want the Lord just to just give us His, just let His glory just shine on each and one of us today. I had some, I worked hard on this, and I don't work as hard on some of my messages, but this week has been quite a week. And last couple of weeks in this country, a lot of turmoil, a lot of dynamics going on here. Had a couple quotes there. I don't know if we're going to show them today. It's okay. But let's just, a couple quotes I just want to share with you guys here to start off. A little easy here, right? Ulysses S. Grant, right? The 4-star general that Lincoln installed in the middle of the Civil War to sustain the Union. Everybody talked about him during his career, you know? But on the back end of his career, he saved the Union. So he's in Sunday school class, and he quotes, "Hold fast to the Bible. As the sheet anchor of your liberties, write His precepts in your hearts and practice them in your lives." I just thought that was so fun to share this morning. Teddy Roosevelt, right? He was the Rough Rider, right? The turn of the century, around 1901. "A thorough knowledge of the Bible is worth more than a college education." And then we all know who Dwight Moody is, right? The powerful evangelist of God, right? "We can stand affliction." Listen to this one. This one hit me. "We can stand affliction better than we can prosperity. For in prosperity, we forget God." Man, isn't that the truth? Everybody runs to the throne, man, when things aren't going well. But man, when things are well, man, God's on the back burner. Man. He goes on. Here's another one. "The world has yet to see what God will do with a man or a woman fully consecrated to Him." That's a fact. That includes Paul. That includes all the prophets. That includes Peter. No one ever gets to the final point. That's why this is a journey, guys, in Christ, right? To our last breath. To our last breath. Each and every one of you in this room has a ministry to sustain for the Lord. And each one of you has a flock of sheep in your radar to touch. Bomber can't touch them. Pastor can't touch them. So just keep that. I want to, before I get started this morning, I play a lot of sports. I umpire a lot back in the old days. Referee a lot of big games. I saw athletes really give it up for the Lord. But if you weren't here last week, Pastor left it all on the field. You ever hear that term in baseball or in soccer? They left everything on the field, right? She did. It's like I walked out of here with the light of God. In the message, I was like, man, I don't have no excuse. You know what I mean? You know, when something is just imparted on you so powerful, man, you can't walk away well with the word "but." We hear the word "but" a lot. You know, everybody makes an opinion, but. But no, I have no opinion. I just need to go ahead and go forward in that light that this ministry brought on my life last week. So I just want to thank you for that, Lisa. I was crying at Star because I was working on this message. I was like, man, how does she do this every week? How's, you know, slug away and you know, I'd walk upstairs, I'd go outside, I'd walk around a little bit, come back in the house, I'd hand jam it a little bit, and I did it all again Saturday too. But thank you for your service, thank you for your ministry, Pastor. My message today is armed with His conviction. And in the social world, the social media life that we live right now, guys, there is so much, everybody's convicting everybody else. I need to start with myself.
That's right.
Man, The world just did a, we're just convicting everybody around us. I got you. Take a breath, people, between you and the King of the Ages, and get everybody else out of the way. When it comes to conviction, we're going to talk about that. I've got a lot of scripture, guys. I beg with you to let me navigate through all the scripture here, because Matthew 10 is powerful, okay? I got my young people in here today. I love you guys. God's got such a charter for your lives ahead of right now, okay? So let him set that table. So when the Lord uses strong words or verbiage sometimes, I'm going to be gentle with my younger folks in here, okay? So buckle up with the old guy. But before we start, let's stand. I just want to just give a prayer of protection and a blessing over this service here. It's a simple verse here, but it's a powerful verse in Matthew 10. You can read it with me if you'd like. Jesus stated, "Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will acknowledge before my Father in heaven." Father, I just thank you for this church. I thank you for your gift of grace. I thank you for the word that became flesh, Lord, in the Son of Man and the Son of God in our Lord Jesus Christ. I ask you to just put your hedge of protection on us, Liz. Guard our hearts from this world, Lord, but open our hearts to the glory of the Father this morning, Lord. Let your light shine on each and every one of us. And God's people said, come on.
Amen.
Do it, man. Have a seat, everybody. Relax. I got Marvin in front, man. I'm good today. I'm going to be fine now. I'm relaxing a little bit here. I'm locking in. Thanks, guys. How do we avoid this apathy, though, these days, guys? While simultaneously defending the truth of God, but sometimes we defend the truth, right? What does it bring? It brings conflict in our lives. It brings resistance. It brings drama. And we're talking about Christ crucified here. Who, to take the element of the King imparted in my heart and then make that a conflicting area of my life with my most special loved ones. How do you slice that? So I want to make sure we save time here. So I want to go through Matthew 10 here. And I'm just, again, I beg for you to go through me all this scripture here. These are the words of Jesus, right, instructing his disciples right here before he puts them out in the field, right? The words of the Savior. Now, keep that close to your heart. The word of the King talking here, not Bomber. Let's go into Matthew 10 here. I'm going to read through this, but stay with me. Jesus instructs them, do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Do not get any gold or silver or copper or take with you in your belts. No bag for the journey or extra shirt or sandals or staff. For the worker is worth his keep. Whatever town or village you enter, search there for some worthy person and stay at their house until you leave. As you enter the home, give it your greeting. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. If it's not, let your peace return to it. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, leave that home or town and shake the dust off your feet. Truly, the Savior says, truly, I tell you, it will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. I am sending you out like sheep among the wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. Be on your guard, and you will be handed over to the local. Be on your guard. You will be handed over to the local councils and be flogged in the synagogues. On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what they say or how they say it. At that time, you will be given what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Okay, let's stop there for a second. I can deal with that. I'm good with that, Lord. I can take that on, Lord. I can take everything you just mentioned right there on, Lord. Bring it to me, Father. Bring it to me. I've been walking in your precepts, right? I know your word. I acknowledge you as the Messiah. Now he continues on with this instruction. He states in verse 21, brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. You will be hated by everyone because of me, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. When you are persecuted in one place, flee to another. Truly, I tell you, you will not finish going through the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. The student is not above the teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for students to be like their teachers and servants like their masters. If the head of the house has been called Beelzebub, how much more are the members of the household? This is serious business. Those are not giving their life to Christ, right? He makes a bold, a condensation there to the man and to the woman and to the house, right? The house has been called Beelzebub. What? That's the home of the enemy. We're at war against principalities and powers, you guys. So he knew that when you go down this track of discipleship, it wasn't just going to be a, hey, I got an idea for your life, how you make it better. It's not a feel-good book. It's life and death. It's enemy. This the enemy, the enmity of against the world, against God, the King of the ages. There's no in-between. That could cost you your friendships. What? I'm going to go on that in just a minute. Verse 26, do not be afraid of them. Do not be afraid of them, for there is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed or hidden that will not be made known. Verse 27, when I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. Man, who speaks in the daylight these days? This phone of mine, that phone's a darkness. I speak in darkness, man. When I'm behind my phone a lot of times, I'm in darkness, right? If I'm on X or one of these apps and I hand jam somebody with a couple old bomberisms, old master sergeant, I'm in the dark. I'm not out in the open there. But Jesus says, what I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy your body and soul in hell. And not two sparrows sold for a penny, yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than the sparrows. Whoever acknowledged me before others, I will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. Man. Our life should be an acknowledgement of the Lord Jesus Christ. The light that you shine is your acknowledgement of the King. Acknowledge who you are. Whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. Hey, those are some harsh words. Everybody's running around who doesn't know the Lord. Jesus is love. He is love, but he's a God of justice here. And I'm going to map together this to the Old Testament in a minute here. Nothing's changed. He didn't come to change the law. He fulfilled the law. Man, oh man, come on, Lord! These young guys, and they're probably in their 20s and 30s, are standing in front of him, and he's giving this dissertation. Are you kidding me? Do not suppose that I come to bring peace to the earth. Verse 34, I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. You'll see those on a bunch of posters, in church shirts, people walking around. Jesus is love, man. I don't have to fight the battle for the Lord to make the case of the Lord's love. Calvary established that for all eternity. You can't read that for yourself. Man, but come see me. For I've come to turn a man, and hear it again. It gets sizzling hot. I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their sons or daughters more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it. And whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. That's what baptism's about too, guys, when you're baptized. Because right there, you're making a proclamation to the world, man, when you're baptized, right? The old self is gone, man. I don't need you, man. That iniquity, man, is buried through the blood of Jesus Christ. I've been born again, man. Baptism's powerful, isn't it? Anyone who welcomes you welcomes me, and anyone who welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet as a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and whoever welcomes a righteous person as a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And if anyone gives even a cold cup of water to one of these little ones who is my disciple, truly I tell you, that person will certainly not lose their reward. So I'm reading this, and I'm like, well, conversely, all the above here, guys, it points back to me too, right? When it comes to discipline between me and the Lord, hello. So when we are being corrected or disciplined, are we able to comply? Man, that'll get your heart reestablished, right? Compliance with God's word, compliance with the Lord wants to map out the lives that we want to live for His ministry. Let's go. So we're talking about armed with conviction here. So let's look at some conviction here, and let's look at the action and the love component with that via Scripture here. Okay. So I brought up Jesus at the well, the woman, right? Woman caught in adultery, right? Cause and effect. The cause and effect of this, right, of conviction, but love. And both sides in the gospel just being really edified in this scenario. In John chapter 8, when they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and he said to them, "Let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Again, he stooped down and he wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time. The older ones first, until only Jesus was left, with the woman standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Go now and leave your life of sin." Can we learn from that? When someone's down, instead of going into us who have no authority to convict others, can we help them first? He picked her up, man. He picked up her life first. And those without sin, they had to turn around, walk away. And then conversely, what to do? The love of the king, what does he do? He gives her instruction. Don't do that no more. Don't sin no more. Walk in my grace. Walk in truth. Don't work them. You owe it to yourself. You owe it to your integrity as a man or woman of God to be a cut above. We're going to talk about this a little bit more here in a few minutes, but we want our people of God to be razor sharp in the Lord here. Not just a little bit, man, I'm going to go to church and I know my John 3:16. That's the milk of the gospel. And Paul's like, okay, we've gone there. Can we pick it up a notch, folks? Right? To the hardened food. That's where we're going today. Because when I get into Isaiah, that's not something you just read and think, I got it. Because we're going to study God's word to our last breath. Amen. But listen, I just want to go back for a second here. Matthew chapter 10. I'm reading this. Hey, guys, this is not Bomber reading something to you and thinking that I'm left out. I would put my current lifestyle probably right. Not saying that that's harder for me to sustain than most people. I'm saying that from a personal level, just from the amount of people. I've got 18 people in my family. I got 3 daughters and 3 son-in-laws and daughter-in-laws and 12 grandkids. That's 8, and then plus me and Star. That's 18 people, right? And Jesus is going on this dissertation here talking about a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law. I'm like, what are you talking about, man? Do you have to make it so hard? But then the Holy Spirit hit me when I was in my study. We tend to go ahead and read it. When we study on the Lordship of Jesus Christ, we study on him as a man. That dissertation there is no different than the book of Genesis and Moses given us in Exodus on the Ten Commandments, right? Jesus is deity. He's the Son of Man, but in every other context, he's also the Son of God. So yeah, those are hard precepts there. But guess what's the first God, the commandment? I am the Lord your God. You can have no other God before you. Nothing comes between you and the Lord, Jesus Christ. Nothing. And my close relationships and all that stuff, no. It's not about, but see, here's the problem. We get caught up in emotion. Church, stop it. Stop allowing emotion to navigate the truth of God. If you can look in the mirror and say, man, I am a broken person. And know that from the onstart that we don't get into the kingdom of heaven by what we've done. Because if we did, that'd make it subjective. And all of these other areas about my relationships with my wife and the kids who I love dearly, and I would lay my life down. And that's not bragging. I hope every man would. But the subjectivity of my life and who I like, and if you're divorced or this, come on. These man-made, our relationships do not short-circuit the power of the divine king. So when he's given these instructions here, he's talking about, it gets lethal, don't it? At the cost of the church and people all screaming at each other, and the temperature's rising in this world, people. Temperature's rising because the enemy wants confusion on you. He wants to create as much confusion, and he wants to go ahead and create a pictorial view in our minds to where this party is totally 100% right about a social issue. And this party feels that they are totally 100% right about a social issue. And this party here has given their life to Christ. And this party here has given their life to Christ. And they're let's short circuit the kingdom here in the church. That's not our job. Think about that. Think about all the grit and grind you have for these little relationships. Tell me what you did last year at this time, or 2 years ago, people. Or tell me what you put on some of this Facebook line last year, or this ex, or how you told this person off here. Lord is just convicting me, man. I had an old World War II veteran. He's probably gone now. He was about 90-something years old years ago on the base. He says, you know, when it's your time to die, make sure that's all you really have left to do in this world. He was talking about just these issues that we allow to short-circuit our relationships with each other or with the Lord. We need to put them at the throne of grace and burn them to the ground. Let the Holy Spirit have... Can we just have let the Holy Spirit have a part of our life more often than not? That's what I'm saying, church. We need to stay galvanized and sharp. Sharp as a razor. And let the love of God just impregnate our hearts. And live in his word. That's another one this weekend. I'm whining to my wife this much about being in the word of God too much. And I'm like, you know what, Star? When I'm not given the word, I'm sure not in the word of God this much, and I sure don't have that spirit imparting in me like I should, because I'm not in God's word. Stay in God's word, people. It's important. Are we okay, guys, so far? Everybody okay? My younger folks. Thank you. Love your families. Yeah, we exercise our gifts by Jesus' example through his grace, love, and truth personified. How often we run the hard encounters, or encounters in general, I wrote here, both with ourselves and the world around us, knowing that we can either be a spectator or the enamored man or woman of God he has created us to be. Indeed, the stakes are high. We are afraid of mistakes that can do and defeat us at times, creating turmoil between us and perhaps our loved ones, our kids, our families, our strangers, due to difference of opinion on many of God's precepts. But conversely, and most especially when the Holy Spirit intervenes, when the public square is the landscape, when we don't want to engage on God's written word that is ingrained on our hearts, the other conflict arises in us. Hear me out. We can and do many times lose self-respect. So when I keep my mouth shut, I don't know if I should say anything here. I'm just, I prayed about it. The Holy Spirit's telling me. Here again, I don't want to offend anyone, so is the cost is going to me. I don't want to offend anyone, so the cost is going to be me having, and I wrote this down, a Peter denial moment. Who's had a Peter's denial moment? Raise your hand. You're like, man, I should have said something. Man, it was the right time, it was the right place. The Holy Spirit was there, man, and I balked. And guess what you do? I end up weeping. We got to watch those Peter denial moments, right? Because Peter, man, he was brought up, man, in the ministry, man. He was fired and wired for the Lord, right? And then it was moment, right? Jesus has already been taken away, right? He's in the last couple days of his life. He's been arrested, and Peter cowers. So that's the other extreme. You heard me go on that dissertation a few minutes ago about getting over-aggressive without the Holy Spirit. And there's times when the Holy Spirit's enacted in our hearts, and guess what? We have a Peter denial moment. I've had them. Man, I've had them. And then, you know, it was like, man, maybe I could have changed that person's life, but, man, that truth would have cut them as deep as the Lord Jesus did up there in Matthew 10. I don't want to make an enemy of my friend. Oh, that's nice. But the judgment seat of Christ is going to push a lot of this out of the way. And yeah, it's a journey, guys. And the heart is what makes it great. Don't forget that as a man of God. The heart is what makes it get great. If it was easy, everybody could do it. But God has chosen each one of us here with a mission of mercy, grace, love, commitment, duty, honor, discipline. Discipline too. This is a generation that needs to be disciplined big time. Maybe we should tear our clothes like they did. Remember, Christianity started at the death of an innocent man, too. Remind you of something? How are we going to get there? How are we going to get this conviction? We can get through man, we got to get through the Word. So Isaiah instructs us. I read Isaiah and I'm like, we must equip ourselves for our ministries through the consuming fire of conviction. Man, Isaiah's that guy, right? One of those major prophets, man. You know, they didn't want to touch him. They were scared of him. They were scared. They didn't want to be around his presence. He was molten hot with the Father. They didn't want to get close to him, not the prophet Isaiah, right? In the year that King Isaiah died, I'm sorry, Isaiah chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne. And the train of his throne filled the temple. Above him were the seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, and two they covered their feet, and two they were flying. That's because they couldn't see the Lord. They couldn't look upon the Father. And they covered the feet as humility. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord our God Almighty. The Lord is, the earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried. "I'm ruined. For I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King of the Lord Almighty." You know, when he goes on there and say, "I am ruined," that means he's justly doomed to death. He thought, just such thought is the product of true repentance. In chapter 5, he pronounced 5 woes against Judah, and now he pronounces one against himself, that he's doomed to death. "Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, 'See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away from your sin and your sin atoned for. Man, I want that goal. I want this iniquity out of this sinful man. Can't that be our prayer? Instead of everybody getting in everybody's way about conviction toward each other, to get myself convicted to the point where, man, just touch that coal on my lips, Lord. And expunge that iniquity out of my heart. Start with me. The burnt offering symbolizing the wrath of God, when brought in contact, removed his iniquity. Cleanse us, O Lord, of our iniquity. If your hand or your foot caused, and then I got to thinking here, I'm sitting down studying. If your hand or your foot caused you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It's better for you to enter the life maimed or crippled than to have the two hands or 2 feet to be thrown into eternal fire. That's the words of Jesus. And if your eye caused you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. It's better for you to enter life with one eye than to have 2 eyes and be thrown into the fire of hell. Talking about the atonement of Jesus Christ. So then the Lord's like, hey, I've got that fixed for you. Through the atonement, through the work of the Son. I found a very easy scripture there. And he goes on to say here in verse 8, then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And I said, here I am, send me. That's the commission. You know, this is his commission. This is a big day. This is Isaiah's promotion. This is, he's being commissioned to be the man that God has chosen to be. Man, I want that commission. Do you want that commission, guys? Here I am, send me. But I'm here to tell you guys, it's going to cost your life. Yes. You're going to have to die to yourself to do this the right way. And there's a ton of us. Hello, bomber. I'm dying to myself every day to get this right, but I'm never going to get it all right. Jesus knew that. That's why we don't live a life of, that's why works doesn't get into the kingdom of heaven, guys. It's by the finished work of the Son at Calvary. Yeah, I wrote here, who really wants to go on this pilgrimage of faith and truth? It can cost you your life. Then he goes on to say in verse 9, he said, go and tell this people, be ever hearing but never understanding, be ever seeing but never perceiving. Make the heart of this people callous, make your ears dull and close your eyes. Wait a minute. He's turning the page again. He's going back to this negativity, or you can perceive it as negativity, right? Go and tell the people ever hearing and ever understanding, be ever hearing, be ever seeing, never perceiving. Make their heartless people callous. Make their ears dull and close their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears, understand with their hearts and turn and be healed. Then I said, for how long, Lord? And he said, until the cities lie ruined and without an inhabitant, until the houses are left deserted and the fields ruined and ravaged, until the Lord has sent everyone far away and the land is utterly forsaken. And though a tenth remains in the land, it will again be laid waste. But as the terebinth and the oak leave stumps when they are cut down, so the holy seed will be the stump in the land. The stakes are high, guys. The stakes are high. This life in God. It's not just something, this is not a club to join. This is a relationship of life between you and the Father. And the Son of God, through Jesus Christ, has created your journey path. If you just but take him as your Lord. Guys, it's a good life with the Lord Jesus. It's a good life. It's a safe life. It's a life of friendship and love. But it's going to be a life of hard work at times. And walking through those mountains of Matthew 10, perhaps with relationships, but knowing how to navigate them in the love and the truth. And I can't really preach on that. That's your walk. That's your journey. You're going to have to get through that, through humility some days and through assertiveness in the gospel the other days as the Holy Spirit sees fit. But here's a Mom Rosie, my mother. My mother, Bomber, I live a tactical life, military, right? Tactical means you're on the ground. Strategic is back and you can see it all. My mother could see things a lot better strategically than I could. My mom's always stressed us, well, son, as long as everyone makes it. It's so simple, as long as everyone makes it. That's why we're here today, guys. We want everyone to make it into the fold. Anyway, about those trees I was talking about, the Lord was talking about that destruction. I wrote, the terebinth or the tell tree and the oak trees, there will remain a holy seed, able to shoot up from the stump after being cut down, and the day they will come, that root will spring up into greater and fairer tree than it ever was. They continue to grow even when they're cut. The stakes are high, guys. The necessity of divine cleansing. It's a necessity for us to go to the Lord for divine cleansing. Divine cleansing, guys. When I read Matthew 10, that takes divine cleansing to navigate through what Jesus instructed his people to do. When I read Isaiah, what he told him, that burning coal on his lips to just extinguish and remove all his iniquity, that's divine cleansing. I'll take it, man. And guess what? That cleansing gets you out of the way of being haughty and have to look at things. You won't be offended as much anymore, you know? I found out the most powerful men and women of God, they don't get offended easy, man. You can't offend them. They know who they are. The world can just call you everything under the sun. They can be hurt. Don't get me wrong now. They can be hurt. We can all be hurt. But I'm just saying, the stronger men and women of God, they don't get offended too often. Because they live a life of strategic look with the mindset of as long as everyone makes it. Amen. First John. And then I go to the New Testament here, right? How does the Lord take this message of Isaiah and put it in check? First John, it's very easy. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us all from the unrighteousness. And then I put it in parentheses, ground zero for all believers, right? Between you and the Lord, man. The blood of Christ, man, has been reserved for you and you and me, man. I'll take it. I'll take it, man, because the world's not, things aren't getting easier, guys. God's calling upon each and one of y'all's name right now. I know this in my heart because the world, at the expense, with the negativity of the enemy when he's trying to bring against God's people, conversely, the Holy Spirit's right there in power and grace and truth. And we're only going to be able to navigate through these times with the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to challenge you guys to keep that prayer life powerful. Start your day with the Lord. I put in here, all generations are fickle as relates to the promises and truth set before him. Our words, deeds, and actions need to reflect God's promises. Then we have fulfilled our role. Don't overthink it either. You're not the Savior. I go on some dissertation with my mom back in the old days about this, that, and the other. I'm right. I'm 10 feet tall and bulletproof, Mr. Conservative. Blah, 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 blah. My mom goes, you know what, son? That's why Lord Jesus Christ died on behalf of all the above. And you think your words are just me. She's right. The Israelites created the golden calf idol out of impatience, insecurity, and desire for a visible leader after Moses' prolonged absence from Mount Sinai. Despite having just witnessed God's miracles, including the parting of the Red Sea, we read that and we're like, oh man, those people are not a whole lot different than them. Calvary's already been established, guys, and we go on our rants of sin and iniquity, hand over fist, to the second coming of Jesus. Yeah, we still need to get it right. I put in, this act of idolatry was a betrayal of their covenant with God and demonstrated their struggle to trust in his timing and power, leading to severe consequences, including the deaths of many Israelites and God's refusal to accompany them directly to the promised land. We need to learn from that. We need to learn from that, guys, those Israelites, because they were there attentive to the Lord when they were, when their lives were being saved, when they were running through that Red Sea with Pharaoh and his armies ready to kill them all. And then time, going back to my first time in apathy, got their hearts, like the Laodicean church. They were lukewarm. And guess what? They end up building a golden calf. Are you kidding me? And they all went in on it. Yeah, let's get a cold. Yeah, we're done with that, God. No, we can learn from them, guys. I believe this is the magnitude of fallen man today. Lest we take up our cross and comply with the Redeemer's direction per our commission in Jesus Christ's kingdom. The stakes are high. Amen? The stakes are high, guys. But it's worth it. It's a good life. I'm done boo-hooing. It's a good life, man. This is a great life. I wouldn't have it any other way. We have the same responsibility in this generation to warn them of these plagues if they choose otherwise. Jesus has fully equipped us through his example and scriptural direction. So my conclusion, guys, we covered actions on God's truth, his love, his conviction in our lives. The stakes are high, but greater is he that is in us than he is in the world. Amen? As in Colossians 3:11 states, there is only Christ. He is everything. We're going to pray out here now. I want to thank you all for staying with me here. I want to ask any of the young folks, old folks, you can stay in your seat. But if you want to, why don't you come on up here? If you want to reestablish your confession of faith, if you want to bring your heart to Jesus Christ, hey man, I'll stand with you. I'll stand with you. Let's pray about that just silently for a minute. Anyone, Father, just let your word resonate in our heart, Lord. You have a greater way for us, Lord. A life of love, hope, and light. We thank you for your redemptive path, Lord. We thank you for this church, Lord. If thou shalt call upon the name of the Lord, thou shalt be saved. And if any one of you are calling that in your heart right now to the Lord, come and see me afterwards. Father, I thank you for this church. I thank you for this message. I thank you for our pastor. Lord, I just want you to bless our ladies group this week. Let that Holy Spirit just enrapture not just our people there, but that hotel, everyone, the clerk, the cleaning person that's walking by saying, what is it about those women of God? What is it? Thank you for your burning coal, Lord. That burning coal, the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you for your finished work at Calvary. Father, we give you the gift, the praise. We love you, Lord. We love your glory. Let's let our light shine as this week goes forward. In Jesus' name, this church says, amen. Amen. Have a great day. God bless you.
Thanks for listening. You can learn more about the Loft Gathering by visiting us at loftgathering.org or joining us for worship service at 10:30 a.m. on Sunday. Till next time, be blessed.